Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to take a look at the Lord's Prayer and reflecting on it over the last few days at the reading on Tuesday in the Gospel reading. Jesus gives us, the church presented to us in the reading that day, Jesus teaching the apostles how to pray. They had watched him pray. They understood how important it was. And they said, you know, Master, show us how to pray. So the particular teaching is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. So much of Jesus' perspective and teaching about how the call to discipleship, what it looks like, is presented in the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of a laying out of what love looks like, how to express the love that we're being called to and that the Holy Spirit's trying to work within us. It's not just a feeling, it's a new way of life, and Jesus breaks open what that new way of life is like. And one of the fundamental elements of it is knowing how to pray. And we will become really what we long for, what we pray, what we value. And Jesus wants our prayer to shape us in the right direction. So if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program so far this week, you missed the opportunity, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the program right there on your computer. You can also download them on whatever device, but I encourage you to go ahead and download the free Renewal Ministries app that allow you to listen to it anytime you want to. So where we're at right now today on the Lord's Prayer is Thy Kingdom Come. We're getting into, you know, some of the petitions that are present in the first petition is hallowing the name of God the Father, hallowed be thy name. And now we're talking about Thy Kingdom Come. So paragraph 2816 describes it this way of the Catechism. In the New Testament, the word basileia can be translated by kingship, an abstract noun, kingdom, concrete noun, or reign, an action noun. The kingdom of God lies ahead of us. It is brought near in the Word incarnate. So ahead of us, right? It's the ultimate destiny of our lives. But we talked earlier in the week about the reality of the already and the not yet. We're not fully, the full expression of the kingdom isn't here yet. We're present already. We touch the kingdom of God. We're living in the kingdom by living in Christ. Let the catechism unfold this for us. It said, it is brought near in the Word incarnate, that is Jesus. It is proclaimed throughout the whole gospel. And it has come in Christ's death and resurrection. The kingdom of God has been coming since the Last Supper, and in the Eucharist, it is in our midst. The kingdom will come in glory when Christ hands it over to his Father. There's a lot packed in there. So the kingdom is revealed in the person of Jesus, who's the king, who's come to establish the Father's kingdom. And what's the kingdom? It's the rule and reign of God. It's God's order, God's economy, God's plan. And it's something we receive. It's something that God gives. It's not something we make up. It's not something we design on our own. It's not something we create. It's proclaimed through the whole gospel. How do we know the elements of the kingdom? Read the gospels. Read the teaching of Jesus. Read the teaching of the apostles. Jesus unfolds the whole economy and plan of God. He not only teaches it, but the catechism goes on to say, and it has come in Christ's death and resurrection. So it came not just in a teaching. Jesus didn't come to just teach about it and then go home, back to the Father. Jesus became one of us. He taught it. He lived it. And he showed us what it looks like. And, I mean, in his whole life of obedience with the Father. So the kingdom for Jesus is, he showed us that to be in the kingdom means to be in a loving, radically trusting relationship with God, receiving our new nature, becoming a new creation, becoming children of God. He showed us how a child of God is meant to live. He showed us what real priorities and the real way we're called to live and to express that. And then he showed it to us in his death and resurrection, and he made it possible for us now to become a new creation through his death and resurrection. Without Jesus' dying and rising to new life, without his destroying sin's power, death's power, without his taking away sins, washing away sin's hold on us and presence in our lives in baptism, the power of original sin, and giving us a new righteousness, new relationship with God, he justified us. He put us in right relationship with God and gave us new life, life that made us children of God. That's how the kingdom has come to us. He goes on to say, the kingdom of God has been coming since the Last Supper in the Eucharist. So the Eucharist, I've talked many times on the program about the Eucharist being the source and summit of our faith, as the Council taught, Second Vatican Council taught. Why? Because it represents to us the deed by which we're saved. And it's the sacrifice that's being offered on our behalf in heaven. And it's like an open heaven. When the Eucharist happens, heaven and earth are touching. The community, the people of God are united to the brothers and sisters in heaven, all who are gathered around the throne, worshiping the King and adoring him and giving the glory that the Father has determined the Son will receive. And in the process, the Son is glorifying the Father and showing each and every one of us and drawing us up into the right worship of the Father. And we're being shaped and formed by it. It's beautiful. So that's a profound expression of the presence of the kingdom of God. Paragraph 2817 says, this petition is Maranatha, the cry of the Spirit, which means, come, Lord Jesus. There is in us, in the cry of the kingdom, there's a number of cries of the kingdom, you might say, that's in the heart of those who are alive in Christ and living in the kingdom. One is Jesus Christ is Lord. The proclamation, the recognition that Jesus is Savior. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the Lord. All power and authority in heaven and earth belong to him. And the whole destiny of human history is in the hands of Jesus. And we know that the kingdom has been established, but it's only begun here, and that's full completion is yet to come. So the Spirit cries in us, come, Lord Jesus. We're a body of people that are anticipating the return of the Lord. We understand the moment we're living. We understand the importance of living in the kingdom and extending it and preparing for it in many ways. So here's another quote from the same paragraph. It says, even if it had not been prescribed to pray for the coming of the kingdom, we would willingly have brought forth this speech, eager to embrace our hope. In indignation, the souls of the martyrs under the altar cry out loud, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth? For the retribution is ordained for the end of the world. Indeed, as soon as possible, Lord, may your kingdom come. So the blood of the saints cry out for justice, and cry out for the revelation and the ultimate setting right that Jesus alone will do with all of God's creation as the Lord over all of it. All power and authority belong to him. Paragraph 2818, it says, in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come refers primarily to the final coming of the reign of God through Christ's return. But far from distracting the church from her mission in this present world, this desire commits her to it all the more strongly since Pentecost. The coming of that reign is the work of the Spirit of the Lord who completes his work on earth and brings us the fullness of grace. Oh, that's so beautiful. It's so good. It's so what the church is teaching us here is to say, when we say, come, Lord Jesus, it doesn't mean we don't have an investment in caring for and living fully in the mission of the church in this world. We're not just passively waiting, we're actively engaging. And for us to be waiting is to be in prayer, in service, living out the Beatitudes, living out the teaching of Jesus, walking in his footsteps, bringing as many people as possible into the kingdom of God. So that's the acknowledgement of the kingdom. Paragraph 2819, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The end time in which we live is the age of the outpouring of the Spirit. Ever since Pentecost, a decisive battle has been joined between the flesh and the Spirit. Only a pure soul can boldly say, thy kingdom come. One who has heard Paul say, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, has purified himself in action, thought, and word, and will say, thy kingdom come. We no longer want sin to reign. We want the kingdom of God to reign in us. It's helpful to see the biblical worldview, the perspective of God. There's no escaping being under the reign of something for a human being. You will either be under the reign of sin and death, the reign of the kingdom of darkness and the world of flesh of the devil, or you're going to be under the reign of God. There's no third way. We could try to multiply and think about it differently, but there's not. There's no third way. There's a battle between the two kingdoms. Jesus has won the war. There's some skirmishes and battles taking place, but he has been crowned at the right hand of the Father, and the king is reigning. And he will now, in this process, this final age of history, the Catechism calls it here, the end time in which we live. Have you thought about that? We're living in the end time, the final stage of human history, and the Catechism reminds us this is the age of the outpouring of the Spirit. The age of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sent on mission to bring about a new creation in us and to help us live the kingdom and to extend the kingdom and to live under the reign of God and impact the world that we live in with God's reign, not forcing it on anybody, but just living it ourselves freely, saying yes to God. It's so important for us to see here how clear the Catechism is really articulating the biblical truth about the kingdom. Paragraph 2819, I'm going to just repeat it again, that last part. He said, since Pentecost, a decisive battle has been joined. Life on earth is a battle. It's a battle between the kingdoms. It touches us, and it says here, it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And Paul says so beautifully in chapter 8 of Romans, which he touched on just a few days ago. He said, verse 12, so then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So we've been given the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwelling in us. Paul is saying if we cooperate with that work of the Holy Spirit and we subdue the works of the flesh, we will enter into eternal life with Christ. We'll share what belongs to him because we'll be living like sons and daughters of God. And the only way that can be overcome, the only way the flesh can be overcome is in the blood of Christ, in the life of Christ, in the Holy Spirit. Paragraph 2821, this petition, thy kingdom come, is taken up and granted in the prayer of Jesus, which is present and effective in the Eucharist. It bears its fruit in new life in keeping with the Beatitudes. It's a beautiful summary. You see the connections we have here? We're talking about kingdom. You're talking about Jesus established as king, and as king, he's come to bring the order of the kingdom, the rule of God, to the earth. Everybody who refuses it ultimately will be judged, and Jesus will deal with them. But the kingdom is present in those who are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and it's expressed effectively and most profoundly in the Eucharist as the people of God gather and bring themselves under, by God's grace, the reign of the King. And it bears its fruit in a new life in keeping with the Beatitudes. So you've got Pentecost, you've got Eucharist, you've got Beatitudes, a new way of life. It's all meant to be incarnated into a radical new way of living. That's part of what Lent's all about, friends, is for us to see this, grasp it, lay hold of it, and to walk in it. That's our purpose. That leads to our destiny, friends. That's how much God loves us, and that's how much he's given you, and he's given to me. Thanks be to God. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.